Imagine having the life of your dreams. Not temporary cash and glory, but happiness and inner peace. Explore new ways to be a creator and take your own journey into greatness. Is it possible? What does it take to make that happen? It takes the person known for extreme results. He's called the Cage Breaker and the Ultimate Catalyst. Coming back from the brink of death and now crushing it for himself and his clients, this is Your Ultimate Life Podcast with Kellen Flukiger.
So now we come to the third of the three power words. I call them power words because they are so powerful for me. And I would encourage you to find your power words, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. The three of my power words over the last two podcasts and this one, love, create, and serve. What do I mean by a power word? Well, it's a word that I think about frequently. I use frequently. I let it guide my decisions and actions, and in a way that I feel is consistent with who I have declared myself to be. I've said repeatedly on the podcast that you are a divine creation, a child of God, and you can choose to accept that or reject it. I can't, nor would I, even if I could, make anyone believe or even try to make anyone believe something, because, again, as we mentioned last time, choice is the prime directive. We must choose who we are, what we believe, and what we will do. Given that that's true, whether or not you choose divine or guiding principles, and if you do what they are, is something that you're going to do or not do. And what I'm doing in this series is sharing with you how powerful it's been in my life to do that, and those that I've worked with also. So the three words that I created for myself are love, create, and serve, and they represent three principles that guide everything I do, from how I interact with clients to how I look for people that might be clients to how I do stuff that's completely unbusiness related to how I treat friends to how I try to interact with my children to how I treat my wife and my neighbors and everything. Love, create, and serve are the three Genesis, literally the Genesis words for me, based on my sets of experiences. This one is about serve, which is the third of the three, and I want to talk a little bit first about what serve might mean. I mean, we could think of a server in a restaurant. You can think of an attendant at a gas station, which fills the same function, although I guess we don't have very many gas stations that have gas station attendants anymore. There is one here in Canada, Domo, D-O-M-O, and their motto is jump to the pump. And so they have red-suited guys and gals that will jump when you pull up, and they do the gas thing just like it used to be when I was a kid. So that's their distinguishing characteristic. Anyway, we often think of that when we use the word serve, someone serving. And we also, unfortunately, think of serve as a sort of subservient word. Someone is a server, and that sometimes, unfortunately, is associated with a low status or not very important. And I'm reminded, I'm strongly Christian, but it's in other sacred literature also, this teaching. I'm familiar with the New Testament where Jesus told his disciples, "He that will be greatest among you, let him be your servant." And so something about the way that Christ was visualizing his teachings and his principles and what he was trying to teach them is that greatness is determined by the degree of service. Unselfish, willing, loving, kind, giving service, where you put someone's well-being, their needs, above your own comfort. And so, you know, there's an elevating principle to the word serve that I think is super powerful and often forgotten. And that's one of the reasons I picked the word serve, is because I want that to be front and center right in front of my eyes. is I think about a business, which is something that many, many clients, probably at least 50% of clients come to me wanting to do something with their business. They want to, when I talk about your ultimate life is a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy created by serving others with your divine gifts, they hear one word, and that's the word prosperity. And they have one definition of prosperity, which is cash. I need more cash. And so they distill your ultimate life of purpose, prosperity, and joy created by serving others with your divine gifts to one word, which is cash. That misses the point. But the reason I said all that is even in that context of that single word, I have a saying that guides literally everything that I do in business. And it's on my wall and it's right in front of me all the time. And it says, I never look for clients. I look for people to serve. Or I'm sorry, I'm saying it wrong. I should have looked at it first. I never look for clients. I look for people to love, opportunities to serve, and problems to solve. And I do that in that order on purpose because love is something I do unilaterally. I can love people without their permission or consent. And while I don't do that perfectly by any stretch, that's my goal, is to come from a place of love all the time with every word and every interaction. So people to love is first, and opportunities to serve. I can serve somebody if I just know a little about them. You know, the proverbial helping someone across the street or carrying a bag. You can see right away if they're in distress or if they need some help or something fell on the floor or on the ground. You know, that sets a context so you know what service would look like for that person. Often when you say people to love, opportunities to serve, you don't know what would really be good for that person. Buying everybody, you know, some roses or flowers isn't necessarily appropriate or good. You need to know a little bit about the situation or context before you might be able to appreciate what meaningful service is. And that's why it's a layer below. I look for people to love because I just do that. Opportunities to serve, I need to do a little work and find out something before I can do any meaningful service. But I can then do it and not expect anything in return. I can find something out. Someone needs a ride. Someone needs this. They need an answer. They need help with that. They need someone to talk to. Maybe they need some advice. And I'm a coach and I do that really well. So I'll spend some time without worrying about clientness or anything else, just listening and trying to be a useful sounding board, et cetera, et cetera. And that was an opportunity for me to serve. Now, thirdly is the layer of problems to solve. So I look for people to love, opportunities to serve, and problems to solve. By the time someone is discussing with me a real problem, like it's something significant that they want to change, then we're in a place where we can talk about real coaching and a relationship. My minimum coaching relationships are 6 months and usually a year. So 6 months to a year, we're going to be working on something, and that has to be a significant issue. By the time we're talking about that, then that's where people might hire me to say, okay, I want you to coach me. I need a coach. I need someone to help me reorganize my life, my business, this part of it, whatever it is, and I want someone on my team. But we never get to that part until we've gone past love, and, you know, people to love, opportunities to serve, and then because they've already experienced those things, we're talking about a problem that we might be able to solve together, and they already know whether or not they can trust me and whether or not I can help them. So even in the straight up most tight context of straight up cash, it still works. Service first, service first, service first. Okay, so that covered part of all three of the pieces of today's podcast, but I'm going to just list them anyway, and then we'll do a little bit shorter version or shorter piece of each three. The first part is we're built to serve. Part two is that we have a learned selfishness that we sometimes have learned and learned deeply, and we need to overcome. And then there's the third part, which is sometimes people confuse serving with being a doormat, or, you know, having someone take advantage of you. And I want to talk a little bit about that. So back to part one, we're created to serve. When we have interactions that are kindly and in service, they create a neurochemical cocktail in us as human beings that's pleasant. Oxytocin is one of the primary ingredients, but it's not the only one. In addition, how we were created is we start out life as an infant, helpless and absolutely dependent on someone else to serve us or we die. So we were created as infants to need that kind of attention and help. We were created as parents to be in a position, if we are willing to fill the role of parents, to give that kind of service. Now, you know, those of you that have had kids and how much attention an infant demands. Some that are colicky stay up all night, and there's the first 2 or 3 months with very little sleep and, you know, a completely upheaval schedule. And then after that, there's a couple of years of diapers, and that's if everything's going well. And if there's any kind of problem, any kind of health issue or anything else, then there's all kinds of other stuff involved. So infants require us to serve them. And I think that I am certain that that's by design so that we learn to serve. The second thing is this learned selfishness thing. And this is something that we've created. C.S. Lewis says happiness comes not in having something, but only in having more of it than the next person. And so we've got this framework that means I can only be happy if I'm greedy. I can only be happy if I have more. I can only be happy if I've got cooler stuff than you, or you've got cooler stuff than me, and we've got bragging rights, and we flaunt whatever it is, money, body, shape, riches, power, and rub it in. You know, that creates our worth, and that is awful. It's wrong, and it's exactly backwards, but we have this disease of learned selfishness. You know, when we grade in grades in school, we have good grades and bad grades. You excel and you suck. And then in response to that, and then we throw grades away and we don't grade at all, which is just as bad because then we don't give the student any feedback about their learning. And so, you know, that's not helpful either, because then they think they're fine. And when it comes time to use any kind of proficiency, you know, they can't do it. So, and I'm not saying all the things we teach in the schools are all the right things. I'm not getting into school curriculum design or homeschooling versus public schooling or any of that. That's a 20-hour discussion all by itself. What I'm saying is either this hierarchical thing where we have winners and losers, or the other end, which is no feedback at all and everybody wins, both of those are damaging because it's not the real world. There's lots of ways to do good, be helpful, add value, and win. And there is an absolute need for truthful and honest feedback so that we have a sense of whether or not what we're doing matters. If I'm trying to dig a ditch and I'm doing it in a crazy direction that won't serve the needs of the irrigation requirement, then I need feedback about that, or all that work that I did and sweat won't matter and someone will have to do it again. If I'm creating a video on my YouTube channel and I'm not doing it well and I don't have sound and the sound is too quiet and I don't get some feedback, you know, all of that work is for nothing. So feedback is critical and important. And it's part of a healthy thing where we learn appropriately and we don't end up learning this selfishness. We end up instead choosing to be of service. Sometimes the best form of service is to be honest with someone and give them some constructive help. Now, you know, some people say the words constructive and criticism can never be said in the same sentence. Well, that's only true if love is absent. If you really love someone, and that doesn't mean you have to be involved with them or family or anything else, if you have their highest and best interest at heart, kind and generous but honest feedback is a helpful and good thing. Okay, so that's another way to serve. And unlearning this selfishness is a gigantic part of learning to truly serve from the heart without gamesmanship and without expectation. The third part I wanted to talk about is the idea of serving versus, you know, doormat or being a martyr or something like that. Some people have the mistaken idea that serving means saying yes to everybody all the time. That's not true. And as a coach, I deal with that all the time. People who feel like, well, they have this obligation and they've got to do this and got to do that. It's like one memorable way to explain that is, you know, give a man a fish versus teach a man to fish or a woman. If you give someone a fish, you fed them for a meal. If you teach them to fish, you fed them for life. Although teaching someone to fish or to take responsibility for their life or to, you know, acquire some other skill like I do with clients all the time is a lot harder than just doing something for them. But it is essential for them to actually grow. So being a doormat is the opposite of service. We have a psychobabble word for that, codependency, right? And so when you're a facilitator of someone's poor coping mechanism, even if it isn't deteriorated into bad behavior or severe misdeeds, you're not serving them, neither am I. To serve someone, again, it is in their highest and best interest, and the driver is love. Another way that service gets twisted is the martyr thing where, okay, I'll do it, you know, and it's an enormous cost and expense to me. That's useless, and that's not real service either. So the doormat notion and the martyr notion are wrong. True service is something that is in the highest and best interest of the person being served and is also done with honesty and love. And whatever gift of time or resources or effort or attention or listening is given, it is given with the utmost love and sincerity. So there is no reciprocity expected, and the feeling is not one created that is expected. That is the three things about service and why it is the third of my power words. Love, create, serve. I found that by both identifying those power words and then choosing to live into them consciously every day, it has helped me really quickly move in the direction of creating your ultimate or my ultimate life. Open your heart
and this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger.